I definitely have commitment phobia. I am guilty of wanting to make an impact in the world and still doing the bare minimum, heck, less than the bare minimum to problem solve the issues I see in the world. Like, even in relationships, they can be going so good, like almost engaged good, and I'm like, I'm out. No, heck no. What's up? I'm Leslie, and today we are talking about slacktivism. My commitment phobia is so bad that like I gave up straws this year because of that cringy sea turtle video, and yet still have used probably hundreds of straws because I'm committed and good at the things. Yeah. But seriously, with so many good causes and yet so many innumerable injustices in the world, it can be easy to say, God, where are you? Do you even see what's happening down here? Are you going to do something about it? Well, maybe the answer isn't just Jesus, do something. Our friend and Switch pastor, James Meehan, is going to tell us all about it.
Well, today we are talking about slacktivism, the gospel, and the mess that gets made when you try to stick them together. My name is James. I'm a pastor here at Switch, and I'm so thankful for the time that we're going to get to spend together tonight. I know I'm going to have a blast. Hopefully, you will as well, as we look a little bit more into what this slacktivism thing is. For some of you, this may be a new word, so let me define it for you. Slacktivism is what you get when you have slacking and activism, and you try to fuse them together. The result is slacktivism. So slacktivism kind of looks like doing the bare minimum to feel like you're a part of something. It's doing the bare minimum to feel like you're making a difference. Now, one of my favorite examples of slacktivism is the online petition. What I'm not saying is that no good has ever come from an online petition. What I am saying, though, is that there are some ridiculous examples of online petitions that are just out of this world. One of those is this guy was so upset with Rotten Tomatoes, the movie review website, that he legitimately created an online petition to try to get them taken down because he felt like they were unfairly biased against DC movies because Marvel movies kept getting better reviews. Yes. Any one of us who has seen a Marvel movie and a DC movie, we know the answer that if it's DC versus Marvel, that Thanos Infinity Gauntlet snaps DC out of existence. Come at me, DC fans. I'm telling you, Captain America is the GOAT. So, somebody else felt similarly. And what they did was they created an online petition to take down the online petition to take down Rotten Tomatoes. And then it gets even crazier because somebody else got so fed up with the ridiculous online petitions that they actually created an online petition to take down the website that creates online petitions. That, my friends, is slacktivism. It's slacking plus activism, slamming it together to feel like you're making a difference. But what I want to explore with you today is the problem of slacktivism. I want to ask some questions about, man, what if settling for slacktivism is causing more harm than we realize? What if slacktivism is holding us back from truly making a difference and feeling the sense of empowerment that comes from making the world a better place? And what if slacktivism, specifically when it comes to following Jesus, is something that too many of us have settled for? It's this unfortunate idea that we've bought into that is holding us back from seeing the true beauty that is the gospel, the good news that Jesus introduced into the world. What if following Jesus isn't just about going to heaven someday? What if there's more? What if it's bigger? And what if it's better? So for me, I used to be a slacktivist, and one of my favorite, I'll start there and then I'll tell you the other one. One of my favorite forms of slacktivism that I engaged in was when I was in high school, my buddies and I, we would get together at coffee shops and we would have these really passionate philosophical debates about how we would make the world a better place if we were in charge. And then we would drink our coffee, we would go home, we would put on our headsets, grab our controllers, and we would play Call of Duty for hours. Right? We had these great conversations, but then we never actually did anything. And then more recently, I'm embarrassed to admit this, I watched a documentary on Netflix about the benefits of being vegan, right? Like not eating any animal products. And after I watched this documentary for 30 minutes, I considered going vegan. But I didn't. I felt really good about it though. That is slacktivism. And many of us, I think we would admit that there are too many times and areas in our lives where we've settled for slacktivism. You know, for some of us, it could look like liking that post on Instagram of that cause that we believe in. It could be engaging in an online conversation on Reddit. It could be having a passionate conversation with your friends about all the ways you'd make the world a better place. There's so many different ways that we engage in slacktivism. And what it does is it makes us feel like we're making a difference. We feel like we're making the world a better place. But here's the problem with that. It's just a feeling. And then when a real opportunity to contribute, a real opportunity to make a difference shows up, we say, no, I'm good. I'm already doing this thing. We pass on it because we settle for slacktivism. And eventually, slacktivism, it leaves us feeling empty, powerless, like we can't make a difference. Because we're doing these things that we feel like are making the world a better place, but then we look at the problems that we're trying to make better, the problems aren't getting any smaller. And then we take a step back and we think, man, I guess I can't really do anything about this. No matter how hard I try, it seems like nothing is getting better. We settle for slacktivism to the point where we end up feeling completely disempowered and disillusioned, to the point where we stop trying altogether. And I think this idea and this problem of slacktivism is nowhere more dangerous than when it comes to following Jesus. Because Jesus introduced this message and movement to the world 2,000 years ago that has completely changed history. The greatest force for good in history was started by this guy named Jesus. But for so many of us in our journey of following him, we settle for so much less than changing the world. We settle for going to church on the weekend, praying the prayer, making sure we believe the right thing so that when we go to, then we die, that we will end up in the good place and not the bad place. For us, we see the full extent of Christianity is all about going to heaven someday. But what if there's more? What if that's not the full extent of the good news that Jesus introduced to the world? What if following Jesus isn't just about going to heaven someday? What if following Jesus is about becoming the kind of person that can bring heaven to earth? So what we recognize is that your generation, your friends, your classmates, you are the most stressed out, overwhelmed, anxious, isolated, depressed, and suicidal generation in history. And that's a problem. And for so many of us, we don't know what the solution is. And when we try to do something to make it better, the problem doesn't go away. And we end up feeling totally disempowered and disillusioned. I think we need to take a step back. I think we need to see that the message that Jesus introduced to the world 2,000 years ago, the gospel, the good news is exactly that. It is good news. So, what is the gospel? The gospel, the good news of Jesus, what I would like to do is I'd like to read from the book of Matthew. This is one of Jesus' followers who's telling about Jesus' cousin, a guy named John the Baptist, who stepped into history to tell people, hey, I'm letting you guys know that something new is coming, something bigger, something better, and it starts with a J and ends with a C. It's Jesus Christ. He's coming, and he's got some news for you, and I'm telling you, it is good. So in Matthew chapter 3, verse 2, and we're reading this in the King James Version, John says this. He says, repent ye. Now, to be clear, yeet is very different. Yeet is new. Ye is John the Baptist language. What he's saying is repent. That means turn back. It means you're going in the wrong direction. You need to turn around and go in the right direction. And ye, like I said, is not yeet. Ye is you. You. Turn around. There's a better direction. There is a better way. And he goes on to say, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is just another way of saying the kingdom of God. And if we go further in Luke chapter 4, verse 43, we have Jesus saying this. He says, I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent. Jesus is telling us that, hey, the reason why I was sent was to proclaim the good news. Good news means gospel. Gospel of what? The good news of what? The kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? Well, the best way I've heard it defined is this way, that the kingdom of God is God's way of doing things being established on earth as it is in heaven. It's the right way of doing things, the best way of doing things. It's peace, justice, every wrong being made right. It is heaven coming to earth. It is these good things becoming the new norm and pushing aside the problems in our society of racism, greed, lust, pride, addiction. Those things are being pushed away and something new and better is coming. And that thing is the kingdom of God. Have I got some good news for you, is what Jesus is saying here. And I think that when we take a look at this, what we realize is that what Jesus is doing is he's inviting us to be a part of something bigger and better than a slacktivist version of Christianity. Because slacktivism in Christianity looks like, okay, I'm going to go to church, I'm going to pray the prayer so that when I die, I can go to heaven someday. But the real good news that Jesus is introducing is, hey, we together, the church, God's people, we are going to bring heaven to earth. The kingdom of God is coming, and I want you to be a part of this movement of bringing that to reality. There's this part where Jesus' disciples are asking Jesus the question, hey, you know God really well. Will you teach us how to pray? And so Jesus teaches them how to pray. He says, pray like this, our Father who art in heaven. So our God that is in heaven, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom is coming. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus is teaching his disciples to pray for the kingdom of God to come to earth, for heaven to come to earth. What I love so much about this prayer, though, is I think that Jesus isn't just teaching his disciples to pray that prayer. I think Jesus is inviting his disciples to be the answer to that prayer. I think Jesus is inviting his disciples to become the kind of people that can bring heaven to earth. And what's so powerful about this is that we, the church, God's people, anybody who says, Jesus, I am with you, we are his disciples. So what Jesus is inviting us to do is he's inviting us to pray this prayer for God's kingdom to come and be established on earth as it is in heaven. And he's inviting us to be the answer to that prayer. What if following Jesus isn't just about going to heaven someday? What if following Jesus is about becoming the kind of person that can bring heaven to earth today? I think this is a really important question that we need to be able to wrestle with, to find an answer, because the reality is that what we believe determines how we behave. So if I believe this thing, then the way I'm going to live is going to be in alignment with that. If I believe that following Jesus is just about going to heaven someday, if I believe in the slacktivist gospel, then the way I live is going to be, I'm going to hold back. I'm going to stay back here where it's safe. But if I believe that there is more than that, if I believe that following Jesus is about becoming the kind of person that can bring heaven to earth, then I'm stepping in. I'm going to live differently. I'm going to serve differently. I'm going to love differently. So tonight, you're going to get to wrestle with that question. What if following Jesus isn't just about going to heaven someday? What if it's about becoming the kind of person that can bring heaven to earth? That's why I love Switch. That's why I love Switch groups, because as human beings, we weren't meant to do life alone. And we need to have people that we can talk to about these things and wrestle with, but we can't let it stay there. Right? We have to talk about these ideas and then we have to create a plan, because if it really is about becoming the kind of person that can bring heaven to earth, we've got to figure out, what does that look like? How do I become that kind of person? And I believe that through the conversations you have tonight, you will find an answer. For some of you, maybe you're new to Switch. The thing that you're going to do is you're going to commit to be at Switch every week. Why? Because every week when you come to Switch, you're going to learn how to become that kind of person. You're going to learn what it really looks like to follow God, what it really looks like to live a life of purpose. For others of you, maybe you're gonna sign up and you're gonna start serving in the church. And what I love about serving in the church is that the more we serve in the church, I believe the more that it prepares us and equips us to serve outside of the church. It's a way that kind of fills us up and prepares us so it doesn't stay here, but we can go out there into the world. For some of us, we're gonna figure out how can we get connected in our community to meeting the needs of people that are hurting, that are hungry, that need someone to care for them. We're gonna partner with our Switch group and figure out, okay, what are we gonna do? What need can we meet? Others of you, there's this passion inside of you to create, to make art, poetry, music. You just feel this thing inside of you that you've got to let it out. You're just not quite sure how yet. I believe that that is a gift from God. I think that good art can help somebody feel something that they don't know how the words to say. It can help people move beyond the current emotion that they're trapped in into a much better and healthier place. So what you're going to do is you're going to figure out how you can develop that skill. You're going to start practicing so that you can use that skill to let people see a little bit of heaven on earth. That's what we're going to talk about tonight, to come up with a plan of what it actually looks like to follow Jesus. And if it is about becoming the kind of person that can bring heaven to earth, we're going to come up with a plan to become that kind of person. And this matters so much because, like we said earlier, your generation, your friends and your classmates, your generation is the most anxious, isolated, depressed, overwhelmed, and suicidal generation in history. That's a problem. But Jesus, he came with good news. He came to tell you that the kingdom of God is being established on earth as it is in heaven. And he is inviting you to be a part of that movement, to be a part of bringing heaven to earth. And what's so cool is that when we embrace that idea, when we embrace that reality, God absolutely will use you to bring heaven to earth. But not only will God use you to bring heaven to earth, I believe that God will use you to help people break free from hell on earth. Because we all know people in our lives that are so trapped in the things that have happened to them, the shame that they're carrying, the addictions that are holding them back. They are so trapped that to them, life literally feels like hell on earth. And they don't even realize that that is not the way things are meant to be. They are desperate for good news. And I believe that God wants to use you to share that good news with them, to help them understand that they can be free from that hell and that they can experience heaven. What if following Jesus isn't just about going to heaven someday? What if following Jesus is about becoming the kind of person that can bring heaven to earth? Will you become that kind of person?
Slacktivism, the gospel, and the mess that gets made when we combine the two. In a world that is desperate for the good news, what an honor that we get to play a part in being that answer. What are you doing in your life to help defeat the slacktivist gospel? Have a good week.